Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
NPHET is also meeting this morning along with Cabinet in a separate meeting, and they're discussing the threat posed by the Delta variant because case numbers remain high. An additional 1,345 confirmed cases of COVID-19 were reported yesterday. 141 patients were in hospital with the disease. 25 people were in intensive care. But are our already overcrowded hospitals and staff prepared for a potential increase in admissions? Well, I'm joined now by Phil Nihay, General Secretary of the INMO. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Claire.
So what state are the hospitals in at the moment across the board? Draw us a picture, if you will.
Well, between January and June of this year, 25,000, just over 25,000 people were treated on trolleys. That's very high. 16 hospitals doubled their trolley count in that period over what they experienced last year. We think the focus has gone off. We think the HSE are not concentrating on removing the overcrowding as a problem. Because just as your previous speaker said, this virus is looking for a congregated setting. That's what it wants. That's what it needs to replicate. And we're providing that to it by virtue of having overcrowded hospitals.
And how does that compare with a normal year? Because last year wasn't a normal year.
Last year was lower than any other year for obvious reasons. And there was a big concentration on getting the private hospitals on the pitch, getting some assistance from them with the routine activity that goes on in an acute hospital. This year, that hasn't been the focus. We have been very critical of the HSE in their attempts to reopen normal services with COVID still being a large portion of the work that staff do. So, for example, if you work in a hospital as a nurse, you have now a COVID stream, you have a non-COVID stream, and you also have a big push for vaccination centres, which is taking a lot of our agency staff. And we relied heavily on our agency staff because our staffing levels, and as you know, Claire, we've been very vocal about the effects of moratoriums, etc., and our high dependency on agency. It is now clear that agency nurses are choosing to work in vaccination centres, so our hospital rosters are short. In Mullingar, we had a dispute there last week. The figure we now have is that we have over 50 shifts not covered this week and next week. That's a lot of shifts not covered.
Yeah,
and that means that those that are at work are under even greater pressure.
Okay. I'm just interested when you say that you've been critical of attempts to reopen normal services, because we know what the waiting lists are like, don't we? We know that there is an absolute imperative to try to address that problem.
Absolutely. But if your service doesn't have the capacity, you cannot open two services in the middle of a pandemic. It's simply unsafe. It's too high risk. And going to hospital should not be a risk of itself. We believe it now is, particularly when you have the overcrowding levels that we do. We opened, our answer to this always has been increase the capacity, get more beds into the system. And we wrote to HICWA at the beginning of June, because despite 110 beds being introduced to Limerick, their overcrowding has gone out of control. Today they have beds, additional beds on wards, additional trolleys on wards. That should be absolutely the last thing that's happening in the middle of a variant such as this, in the middle of a pandemic.
And
HICWA have responded, and they've said that they've communicated with the hospital, that they're satisfied with the response they have received, and that they do not intend to investigate. So we're very disappointed with that response. So we will now be writing to the Minister for Health and asking him to intervene, because the answer has always been increase capacity, give us more beds, and we will deal with the overcrowding problem. When you do have additional beds and the problem still remains, well, somebody needs to ask very difficult questions.
So given that more beds are needed, according to what you've just said, should the private hospital deal and the private hospital system now, should that be cranked up again as it was early in the pandemic?
Absolutely. And I've written to the head of the acute hospital division in the HSE 3 weeks ago, asking them to immediately do that. The problem we have and the problem our members have is when they go to work, they have to deal with what they're presented with. They don't have the luxury of turning around and saying, well, you know, this is too much, I'm not going to do that today. They have to wear PPE in very, very warm conditions. Their ventilation in hospitals is poor. We have sought from the HSE an independent review of hospitals. Some of our buildings are quite old. The main reported issue of our members now is that they believe that the air exchange on wards, the air exchange where they're expected to take their breaks, etc., is not sufficient, is not according to the standard that it should be. And when they hear what's, you know, correctly being proposed for restaurants, for schools, they're saying, but that's not happening in my workplace. So hospitals are workplaces as well as being places where care is provided. And they're extremely worried about the environment they're now working in. We have asked the Health and Safety Authority to come in to look at the environment. And we believe that until we start looking at the health service as a workplace, this matter will continue.
And there's a small number still, isn't there, of breakthrough infections occurring, despite the fact that most, if not all, in some cases, healthcare staff are vaccinated. It's around 3%.
Yeah, 2.6%. And that translates to about 260 people in a fortnight. That's still too high. You know, you're right, vaccination is very high. The uptake has been very high. We've worked very hard to promote it, and it's working with a long history of peer vaccination. So, but it is. The breakthrough is there. 2.6% is worrying because it's constant.
And what response did you get on the ventilation request?
Well, what the HSE has said, again, it's disappointing. What they've said is that they're looking at that themselves. Their estate function is now looking at that. We had a situation in a hospital last week where building work was, additional capacity was being built outside of a particular ward, and the windows were sealed in that ward. Now, we wrote to the HSE immediately. We said, the least you can do is write a letter to that hospital manager saying, the last thing you should be doing is sealing windows in the middle of a pandemic.
And what happened?
Well, the HSE have advised us that they are looking into that. But the point we're making is, if this was a building site or a construction site, and the analogy has been made that if you wait until the worker falls off the building to put scaffolding in place, well, then that's too late. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in our view. They're waiting for the issue to become so bad that they then introduce the safety measures. The law requires them to introduce the safety measures on a precautionary principle. You assess the risk. You put the safety measures in place prior to the event happening. And we have too much pressure right now from an exhausted workforce, from a workforce that is still exposed to a very contagious virus in their workplace, requiring them to wear PPE, vaccinated or not, and also having a response from government, which they are frankly disappointed with, which is in respect of a compensation claim that their colleagues all over Europe and in some of the Australia, America, New Zealand have received in thanks for their efforts. They have been dealing with this since March 2020. That's a long time to be working at this pace with a very disappointing response from government in respect of compensation.
And your ask was for an additional 10 days leave.
Our ask was for some reprieve that they can look forward to, that they have spent their, they've worked additional hours, they've missed breaks. Nurses are telling us that they are tired of getting phone calls at home on their days off, begging them to come in to cover shifts, because right now there is a pressure. There is a pressure because we have a high long COVID incidence among the workforce. We have pregnant staff who are not attending, who can't attend on health and safety grounds. We have our normal 2-4% on maternity leave, not covered, not replaced. And now we have agency staff who are choosing to work in the main in vaccination centres. So you have one workforce, but you have effectively three services. You have COVID services, non-COVID services, and vaccination services. And we have private hospitals, and we believe a lot more could be transferred, a lot more work should be and must be transferred to give that break.
Okay. And what's been the response so far on the compensation issue?
Well, we had to refer it as a grievance, as an outstanding grievance, to the Workplace Relations Commission. The first conciliation conference was held. That's to be reconvened on the 5th of August. And the HSE negotiators advised that government had not issued them with authority to make an offer. That's disappointing. That's at government's door. So we have now asked our members to talk to their local elected representatives and express to them directly what they have gone through, what they have done for this during this COVID-19, cooperated, redeployed, worked across services, gone into the private sector to give them a dig out. And you know what? That's extraordinary.
Phil Nihay, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you for talking to us, General Secretary of the INMO. We'll be speaking to Minister Patrick O'Donovan after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.